Hi, I'm Simon from the Super Nerds UK podcast, and you're listening to 4101 Gaming on the Orbital Jigsaw Network.
All right, hold on. Before we get this show started, this is your boy Dak, and I'm here to let you guys know that this episode is brought to you by Blueberry. Blueberry offers the best media hosting, accurate listening stats, and an all-new PowerPress Deluxe site, a no-setup WordPress website for your podcast with all the necessary links to share your show with the world from right in. So head on over to orbitaljigsaw.com/410 to sign up for media hosting and a PowerPress Deluxe site and get your first month free. So don't wait. Okay, you want to start a new podcast, or if you're not happy with your current hosting options, head on over to orbitaljigsaw.com/410 and get that thing started today.
You are now listening to the sounds of the 410 Gaming Podcast.
So you think it's a game?
Yeah, I'm a gamer. On the battlefront, I'm like Vader. Ever since GoldenEye 007, I was using proximity mines with Trevelyan. Fruit Ninja, quick to split your melon. On the run, GTA, five-star felon. Where to get the money for these games, no telling. But if GameStop wanna be cheap, I'm not selling. Me and 23 friends on Halo 5.
What's going on, everybody? This is episode 149 of the 411 Gaming Podcast on the Orbital Jigsaw Network. As always, shout out to Billy Ray Ransom for those beautiful beats just dropped into your ear holes. I'm your man, Jackie Fingers, and this is another special couples episode of the 411. So the room is a little bit prettier than normal.
A lot prettier than normal.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh.
Aww.
So sweet.
So, yeah, I'm back again. Deal with it.
No.
And I have my lovely counterpart.
I volunteer as tribute.
Do you now? Probably shouldn't say that to a bunch of gamers. Who wants to play multiplayer?
Me.
It's Valentine's
Day. Wait, should I
stop
answering questions now? Okay.
I'm not sure you got what I was going there.
Nope.
Anyhow.
I usually don't. You give all these like perverted jokes and I just kind of chuckle and smile sweetly at you and hope we move on to something else because I have no idea what you're referencing.
Truth well, bomb. You volunteered as tribute, and I said, who wants to play multiplayer? Let's see if you can figure it out later on. You know that chuckle. What's going on, man?
What's up?
And his beautiful counterpart.
Hey, hey, hey.
Not
Thought Albert. No.
I had to do it. So, if you don't know the voices, that's Virginia. We got Kevin and Ashley back up in the house. Equal mix of estrogen and testosterone. It should be a good show.
Still trying to figure out the reference.
Don't worry about it, honey. I'll tell you later. It's a good thing you're pretty. All right. So, as a special for the couples episode, we're bringing back hypothetical. We have a handwritten hypothetical from Virginia. So, this is going to be a good one. We'll have the answer for you at the end of the show. Take it away.
So, the question is, scenario. You have been selected to be a part of the first human party to make contact with a friendly alien race. Their pop culture is the exact opposite of ours. Luke is Darth Vader's father. Bruce Willis wasn't dead the whole time in The Sixth Sense. Star Trek was led by Spock, not Kirk. Magneto led the X-Men. Question. You have been asked to bring a video game and associated console to introduce them to our pop culture. Which game and console duo do you choose?
Should be a good one.
Yep.
Stay tuned for that answer later.
I know Jax is going to be Metal Gear Survive.
No, great. Assassin's Creed 3.
Why is everyone trying to make me angry today?
Because the show isn't good if you're happy.
I like him when he's happy.
Again, the opposite pop culture. That's like the best Snickers commercial for these aliens. Anyway... this is actually pretty cool the way this whole thing worked out because we've got a lot of Nintendo news and we have two pretty big Nintendo fans in the house. Before we get started on that though, the ladies haven't been in the show for a while, so let's hear what you guys have been up to in your gaming situations.
Flip a coin.
Okay.
No, fuck it. Somebody go.
All right. I've just been playing PUBG. That's nice. All on preferably on the X.
Right on.
Mine, it's kind of bleh.
So are you noticing some performance issues?
Oh, absolutely.
On the standard Xbox One?
Yeah, they've made a lot of patches from what I hear that have even smoothed out the One X because that was rough at launch.
Yeah.
But it was like when we were playing together, like we'd both join into the party and get ready to go and I'd be running around the lobby. She hadn't even loaded in yet.
Like Art, his big TV's in the front of the room and I'm like sitting back behind him a little bit so I can see what he's doing and when he loads in, I'm like screaming, I'm like, what the fuck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's frustrating.
So, yeah, but I've just been really playing that. I don't care what you say. No.
Yeah, I'm not judging. You do what you want, honey.
It was pretty
as long
cool.
as you're having fun.
That is one thing that is now a question on my mind, and I'm sure on a lot of other gamers' minds as well. When you look at the performance power of the Xbox One X, we were told long before it launched that it was going to be much more powerful,
mm-hmm.
and now we're starting to see that actual implication applied to gaming.
I'd hate to say that's being applied to gaming just from an early access game, because this game is going to be running poorly and in a bad state for a long
time. Well, that's not the problem. That's not the question. The issue is the game is being fed to the consoles from the same exact server in the same exact manner, and your Xbox One X is processing it faster than her Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that, especially in a scenario where it's not, you know, the internet connection varying speeds. It's the same internet connection in the same household with two different processing times.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big one. I definitely want to get my hands on the One X.
You're more than welcome to come over and check it out anytime.
Yeah, I'll have to do that.
I will try to decat the place.
So
defer it, yeah.
Anything else, Ashley?
No problem.
Have you touched your Switch recently? Any other games you've been playing?
He's the only one who has a Switch, so I just steal his. No. But no, I've just been...
It's been a big thing to go in and play, and the amount of time that I should be saying Xbox record that if my Kinect still was hooked up would be astronomical, because there was one time, I think it was in the top 12 or 13, and I got cornered in a watchtower, and I just lobbed a grenade out in the direction of where the vehicle was, and it blew up the vehicle and killed the guy. And Ash is like, how the did you do that?
Nice.
There are just the things that happen in that game that you're just like, that was awesome.
That sounds cool.
I was going to say something. I forgot what it was.
That's me. My job here is steal your thunder from time to time.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, actually, that you have not kind of jumped back over to Fortnite.
We keep talking about doing that. We haven't tried it at all.
I haven't tried the Battle Royale either.
And that's one of the things that I'm surprised about. You said you've been playing PUBG this whole time. I figured, you know, I know that you enjoy that game. I thought maybe you would have jumped into Fortnite to check that out.
I think I recently updated it, but we didn't have enough time to go back in and play it that day.
I'm sorry, is your name Ashley?
I'm stating a fact, jackass.
Yes, he is correct, but I don't know. I try to stick to one game at a time and kind of, you know, fall in and out of love with one game. And
you had mentioned that before. So like, are you pushing like the 1 month time frame now of playing this?
I think I've been since it's launched on the Xbox. That's all I've been playing for a month now, maybe a month plus, whenever it is, month and a half. Two months. Yeah. God, I
probably
can't do math.
Months, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, that's...
All right.
Next.
So there's no doubt, based on our conversation last week, that PUBG is still moving that hype train.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
I know why everybody wants to... I mean, you haven't played PUBG. You haven't...
No, I haven't.
I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's not... It's not the same.
I'm sure it's not. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's not. But my argument, well, not, I don't want to say argument, my issue is that it's not finished.
Yeah.
And because it has so many issues, I think I would be more pissed off at the game itself than, you know, getting into the top 25 and then dying. So
it's one of those things. We'll have to put you into that game one day and play around, because
we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to, I mean, we're going to talk about it later on. It's affecting maybe other games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Babe?
So thanks to you, I'm picking up some old school games. Mm-hmm. Well, not really old school, but classics. Would you call them classics now?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I am playing Fallout 3, first time ever playing Fallout, and Bloodborne, because apparently I don't like sleeping. And it is a terrifying game. Also playing Civilization 6 still, because that's hilarious. And I just beat Mario Odyssey. Well, that's not really, awesome. But you don't really beat it, you know?
That's an awesome ending, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no. Okay, so I have issues with the ending, and I was talking to Dak about this. Mario has been saving Peach this whole time, and she... So when Mario and...
Don't go too far.
Okay.
Don't go too far. Just... We can talk about it after.
Okay. I have some serious problems, and I will rage constantly. I will channel Jack's rage for it.
Well,
that's how bad it
is. The cool thing about that game is it's not over when it's over.
Yeah.
No, and it's really not.
Even with Mario 64, that was not the case.
Yeah.
You know? You could get all 126 stars if you wanted to, but you didn't have to. Once you beat the game, you beat the game. I think actually there was something about that game. It might have been the 3DS version.
What?
Because I don't think the 64 version, you couldn't play as like Yoshi or
no, they added Toad. That
was a 3DS, right?
Thing.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been watching her play Fallout, and it is
reliving the glory days.
Well, yes, that too. I mean, I've played Fallout, I think, three times through. I can't remember. I know I played it twice, definitely through all the way. I don't remember if I played it a third time through. But just watching it from the outside, it's amazing. It's amazing how that game just holds up its replay value.
I really can't wait to show you guys that game on an X.
Yeah, I want to see it.
You were saying that the graphics look so much better on the One compared to the 360.
They definitely did some improvements.
That's incredible.
Yeah, there was a high-res patch, I think, somewhere in there that kind of like translated into the game once you booted it. And it's not a significant increase by, like, doesn't look like Fallout 4 by any means. But the textures don't look quite as muddy. I'm actually noticing the traps a lot easier than when I played it.
Yeah, you notice them for me, so that I can disarm them, because I have, like, no observation skills whatsoever. Yeah, pretty much, exactly. It's like, oh, my legs are crippled! How did that happen? And he'd be like, you tripped a wire. And I'm like, no, I didn't! That's a lie!
Before we move on, I would like you to tell everybody about your harrowing experience with Bloodborne.
Oh, God. So... It's been mentioned on the podcast before. I don't do really well with survivor horror games. They scare me. I like horror movies, but like I'm very picky about them. I get easily scared, basically. And Tony Tote, when he found out that I was getting PlayStation 4, said, "You have to get Bloodborne. You have to. First thing you do, get Bloodborne." And I was like, "All right, whatever." And Jack kept going, "It's really scary. It's really long, it's really hard, it's really intense." And I'm like, yeah, but Tony said that I should get it, he said I'd like it, and, you know, we like the same games, you know, still being my optimistic, naive self. And oh my gosh, that game is terrifying, and I wasn't expecting it to be the terrifying game it is. So when I first hopped in, I thought, oh, it's just going to be a lot of bloody monsters, people walking with appendages missing, like weird stuff going on. No, it's terrifying because your character... You're at the mercy of the game, basically. The game is not at the mercy of your character, like most games we play. This one is, you have to hope to God you don't die, because you lose everything. And the worst part is like, you can't... The grind is fine. I have no problem playing a grind game. But in order to even get to that first level where you can start cashing in your blood echoes so that the grind is actually worth something, takes so long and takes so much effort... that it's frustrating and also terrifying, because then you lose it again. You're like, God damn it, I have to start from the beginning. And then you just keep going and going and going. And I couldn't stop playing. Curses.
The panic in her eyes and her voice when she was trying to get back to the first lantern.
Second lantern, technically.
Technically, yeah. Was just incredible. And I enjoyed it. It was like the sauce... on my steak. Like, it was delicious.
I'm not sure I feel about how my terror equals happiness for you.
I love it. Sorry. No, but it was just, it, again, from the outsider's perspective, when you're playing that game, you feel the stress and the intensity of it.
She watched me try, and I say try literally because I haven't played it since Dark Souls 3's opening boss fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, you're almost there. You almost got him. And then he changes and transforms and just mops the floor with me. And I'm like, yeah, well, this was a nice attempt. I'm going to go play Lego now because I will feel better about myself afterwards.
Yeah, I think after the first day I played Bloodborne and he came over for dinner, I was like, can we watch like a cartoon movie or something to make things cheery again?
Speaking of, real quick before we move off of this, just because it's a game that I think both of you will enjoy, Monster Hunter World.
Someone came up to me at work today and was going like, oh, he said that you told him that I was interested in Monster Hunter World, and I was like, oh, well, I thought it looked cool, but okay. And
he Rab?
Yeah. And he just, like, nerded out constantly about it, and it was, and his excitement for the game makes me want to try it now.
And I have never played a Monster Hunter game. I always viewed them as the impenetrable Japanese game that the people over there loved, and it just wasn't for me. I spent an entire like week and a half listening to every podcast under the sun talk about how great this game is, how more accessible it is, and it's still hard as shit, but it's got the Destiny grind that you like, as well as the JRPG elements that you will also enjoy.
Ooh, I do like JRPG.
Plus, you get to create your own Palico, which is a
chicken
virtual cat that walks around with you.
It's a kitty minion.
And they refer to you as, like, little cat puns. Like, when they say Mister, it's Meowster.
Oh, my goodness.
You can make him look however you want. We made him look like Murphy.
Oh. So cute.
Game sounds fucking stupid.
No, I'm telling you. Dude, it's not one of those games that I see myself having a firm grasp over after only playing, like, 30 minutes to an hour last night.
Yeah.
But was easy enough to grasp to go out and complete the first couple quests and do things like that. Now, the JRPG elements, some of them are really, really stupid, like old-school JRPG elements. Like, you go into dialogue, and they say the first phrase of a long dialogue, and then you're just sitting there hitting
It's very old-school JRPG in its presentation, and that hasn't changed, really, from the Monster Hunter series. The biggest change is Monster Hunter, quote-unquote, world, online component, multiple players in the world at the same time, which is currently broken on the Xbox One, but whatever.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I think it's one of the biggest draws to the game and why it's... Monster Hunter has always been that niche title, one of those niche titles that, you know, when it comes out, the rabid fan base that really wants the game is going to go for the game, and that's all you're going to hear them talk about for a long time. But this game, which is good for it, has branched out to grab even more players. And that's what you want out of your game series. That's what you want out of your franchise. Listen up, EA.
I told you he'd get mad at some point.
This is how you make a game grab a larger market. You don't get rid of what makes the game, and you don't get rid of what makes the game good. You just add and build upon it.
Yeah.
You fucking assholes.
Well, just saying, it's... When we first talked about this game, we were all like, nah, it's nobody's here's going to play it. And after hearing about it and everything that was going on, I was like, out of the two that came out that day, it was going to be Monster Hunter over Dragon Ball FighterZ because it's a fighting game, and that's so far out of my realm of caring.
Although we have been watching the cartoon.
Yeah, that's funny. She's...
I mean, the cartoon is pretty amusing.
She's hilariously enthralled with Roshi.
Master Roshi?
I love him. He's so perverted.
Right? Oh, but yeah, I get shit for it.
Well, you're not.
When I do it, society has a problem. All right, whatever. All right, so...
grow a long white beard and put a turtle shell on your back and people might be okay with
maybe
it then.
Maybe a Hawaiian shirt, too.
Shave your head.
Exactly. You know.
Fuck all that. Yeah. So, like I said, we got a lot of Nintendo news. Fucking
English
words to touch on. First story that we have, not much to it. Mario Kart coming to mobile platforms before the end of the fiscal year 2019. So that puts it between April 2018 to March 2019. What the fuck is wrong with my vocabulary?
It is cold. That's what it is.
It's very cold. Cold. Oh my goodness.
So no further details on that, but we can speculate. What do you guys hope is going to come out of this?
I have to say, if it's AR, it's going to be really dangerous.
That would be cool.
But dangerous.
Yeah. I kind of wonder what version we're going to get. Is it going to be a complete rebuild? Is it going to be a port of 8?
No, it's going to be a... Is it going to be like Mario Kart DS? No, it's not even going to be anything like that. I would say put more like a Mario Run style game where it may be either tap on the screen to make the cart go or activate powers, or it's going to be all gyroscope. It's a mobile game. It's not going to be a port of a full-featured Mario Kart game. It's going to be the daily challenge. Like, I'd probably say this is going to be more a competitive runner game than anything. That's what I'd see it being. Like, you're dodging obstacles, picking up powers to help you go through, something like that. A free-to-play game where they're either going to microtransaction you to hell, or they're going to do the Mario Run thing where it's like, here, you've played it for free for the first couple levels. Now it's $10 and you own everything.
I don't know.
I'm thinking about how the 3DS, playing Mario Kart in the 3DS, you had that online aspect. Even if you weren't playing with someone literally next to you, you could hop on the internet and it would be like, do a trial run. More or less, it was the trial runs in Mario Kart.
Speed runs, basically.
Yes, but it would show you the other people who did that speed run in across the world. And that's what I was kind of thinking this would become, is like...
It could probably be the
race of the day.
It could probably be that, but more in an asynchronous way, because you're trying to get it onto a ton of mobile phones at once.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to put it like where the new Pixel might run it great, but Ashley's iPhone is going to struggle. Mm-hmm. Like, it would probably be more of an asynchronous thing, almost like leaderboards. Like, yeah, this is the race of the day, and haven't entered yet. But when you do, you're 15th for the race of the day. Now you can do it again and try to beat the other people on the leaderboards.
My biggest question is, what is their motivation for this?
Money.
Aside from money.
More money.
Well, they've also Fuck been you. Kind of... seriously, that's the truth. But they've been, like, they've taken over mobile gaming in terms of, you know, they've not only Mario Run, but they also have that new game, Animal Crossing
Pocket Fire Camp,
Fire Emblem. And those games are really successful. I downloaded Animal Crossing, and it was slightly addicting and adorable at the same time. Like, everything you want in an Animal Crossing game, but put into a simplified... Like, the map almost reminded me of, like, the Diner Dash sort of map, where you just move to a certain area once you finish, but then you come back to your main camp, and then you just keep building it. And it was a simplified version, and it's great. I think Nintendo knows what they're doing when they're creating mobile games right now.
So I'm actually kind of waiting for the death of the 3DS at this point. I know, Kevin, you're shaking your head. I know a lot of people, other people are shaking their heads, but...
I think it's... bound to happen. You've
got to look at it from a current standpoint of them having the Switch out, which is both a mobile and home console at the same time. They're introducing new mobile games now, and a lot of things that, you know, we see on the 3DS are fully capable of being positioned to the Switch anyway. So do they want to continue to support all three platforms?
Well, I was going to talk about that in our next topic,
okay,
because I thought that would be...
So let's jump into that. Nintendo planning to launch, great segue.
Yay!
Switch Online in September. Just like the previous story, not really much to talk about as far as details. Going back to a previous announcement, they plan it to cost about $20 a year, $8 for a 3-month subscription, and $4 per month. Subscribers will have access to certain old retro games, discounts on eShop, and of course the main purpose for this, online multiplayer. I love this statement.
Yeah, fuck you, Dak.
Now that we have a release date or window, if you ask Kevin, how do you think this is going to do? Do you think we'll get backwards functionality for already released titles like Mario Kart 8 or Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and Splatoon? Do you guys think Virtual Console will eventually be part of this? Will it be its own thing, or will it even exist at all? First thing I want to spit out, I hope to God Virtual Console makes a comeback. That has the potential to fill in the hole for a lot of retro gaming desires, mine included, especially when you consider the overwhelming success but underwhelming production of both the NES Classic and the SNES Classic. Both released in a time frame where everyone is out shopping, which I can't argue with their logistics on that, but it makes it incredibly difficult for anyone, not anyone, but a lot of people who are interested in getting one to get their hands on one. Virtual Console, thinking back to the Wii and the 3DS, or DSi actually, that gave you access to all that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you pay $5, $10, you know, whatever. I'm fine with that. I was planning on buying a Wii a few years ago just so I could download Castlevania and, you know, the old Mario games and such. So I really hope that Virtual Console does make a comeback. I think it's a great platform for them.
I also think that this is further proof that they are going to phase out the 3DS, because what does the 3DS have right now that the Switch doesn't? They have that online capability of the eShop where you can buy all those old school games. You know, like you could play the old Mario games, you could play the old Zelda games. And I know that right now, one of the downsides to the 3DS is if you forget to log out and you sell your 3DS to GameStop, the next person who buys your 3DS, chances are they're going to get all those games you just purchased, which might have happened to someone I know. yeah, I think this is proof that this is how they're going to get rid of the 3DS, is by saying now you have access to all the retro games that you were able to play on the DS systems, as well as any old games like Virtual Console or anything else that they weren't able to squeeze into the DS. Plus, that monthly subscription makes it so much cheaper than buying them game by game or in the bundle packages they sold on the eShop and the DS.
Well, the problem with that is you don't get to keep them. They give you four for a month, and then they're gone. And then that, if they don't have a Virtual Console tied to it, they're just gone. It's not like a purchasable option. So it's almost like they need to have that in there. But the real death of the 3DS, which in my opinion is the main thing keeping the 3DS alive, is Pokemon. When that Pokemon game comes out, if the Pokemon company sees massive numbers moving to the Switch and gameplay time going down on all others, the 3DS is dead.
Do we know when it's coming out?
No. It's rumored that you'll probably hear about it at E3, but I still doubt that's going to be a this year game.
Well, I positioned this a few months back, and I said it to Dak and a couple other people, and they were all like, no, that's fucking ridiculous. I still believe that there is a very high probability that Nintendo in some point in the near future is going to announce a 3D Nintendo Switch.
Well,
because it will eliminate the need for the 3DS at that point. They could then open the Virtual Console up to have all the 3DS library digitally, either included in the subscription, or, you know, you pay $5-$10 per game, whatever it happens to be. Or if they're really smart and they really want some money, do what Xbox is doing with Game Pass.
I see your point, but I think Nintendo's made a lot of great strides in the Switch and the things that they're doing now. I don't have that much faith in them to do this the right way. They are too much like Sony, where why would we give you Dr. Mario for free for giving us money when we can charge you $10 every time you want to buy it on every system? Well, why keep a record of that you've bought it 15 fucking times and just give it to you when it comes out on the Switch, when we can charge you again another $10?
I'm not saying they need to make the games free, but they do need to fix that fucking problem.
Well, that is requiring fixing their whole infrastructure, which they still haven't done yet. We're still on friend codes.
Well, hopefully when they get some revenue coming in to support it,
I mean,
that'll change.
I see the 3DS going away. I just don't see it going away anytime soon, because it's still printing them money.
Yeah.
It's not stopping. It's not slowing down. It's still printing money.
So wait, I'm confused. Going back, if you subscribe to the Switch online, you only have access to certain games for like a month?
It's a month. The first four games, I think they said, were Super Mario 3, Dr. Mario, Balloon Fight, and there was another one.
And then you can't play it, like, you have next
to,
month?
I think it's not free the next month. You'd have to... It's a constant rotation. And I think you can purchase them, but it doesn't state anything about a virtual console in general.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's the catch. I mean, like, Microsoft and Sony give you free games for a month. And you have to grab them when they're there, and you can keep playing them as long as you have an active subscription. If you let it lapse, they're still technically there, you just don't have the license for them anymore.
Well, that's not a bad model, you know.
No.
Four games are free to play for a month, and then those games are no longer free to play after that month is over. You can buy them if you want them, or you just kind of let it go.
Except for the ones that I've already bought on 3DS.
Yeah, I know. But it's not a bad model. And I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying that they need to give the games away for free. Making them available free to play for a month is good enough.
Free to play for a month and then you can download it just like Xbox and Sony, or free to play for a month and then, oh, even if you were
That's the question. We don't know if there's going to be a virtual console, you know,
They've said you can purchase it, but I don't know what that means. Is it just buying it from the eShop? But yeah. You'd think they'd have to have the virtual console in there to emulate the games properly. So,
Well, with that said, the Switch Online is scheduled to launch in September. We can almost guarantee that within the next 3 months, probably right after E3 at the very latest, we're going to get a Nintendo Direct specifically about Switch Online. So, answers for that coming soon. What we have answers to right now, some answers anyway, is Activision finally answering the call of third party to the Switch. We are going to be potentially hearing about, in the near future, the Crash Bandicoot trilogy and Call of Duty Black Ops 4 making their way to Nintendo Switch.
I think I have a little more faith in this Call of Duty being good on a mobile device than I ever did of anything they put on Vita.
That's a good point. But my hesitation with that is the online gaming community on the Xbox and the...
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But the Switch isn't going to pull people for multiplayer on Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's a good point. So then you'll only be playing Black Ops 4 for the storyline?
They'll be playing Black Ops 4 for probably the modes that you can play, like single player zombies or the story or anything, just to get that Call of Duty fix on the go, in my mind. I mean, I enjoy my Switch, but I don't buy the Switch to play online games. Sans Mario Kart and Splatoon, like Nintendo staples at this point. Like, you're not buying the Switch because you want that handheld experience to nerf, to screw up people on multiplayer. It's just not designed for that, in my opinion. Especially because a lot of people play that in handheld mode. I mean, some people play it on TV, but a lot of people play it in handheld mode. That's going to look... You're going to be throwing your console around when you're getting shot from the back or something like that. I don't see it. I know why they're doing it, because it's selling consoles. But, like, Nintendo is selling a ton of consoles. Activision wants in on that. I don't know if their prowess on what they've been doing makes them good to make or have somebody else port it, which is always the problem that they're going to have. They're going to focus on the ones that make them money, Xbox and PlayStation and PC, and they're going to give the code and the story to somebody else and have them port it. Are they going to do a good job?
Mm.
Like... The offshoot Call of Duties have never struck a chord with me. Even if it is literally Black Ops 4. Same thing as you get on there. It's like, yeah, sure it is. Like, it's going to be an extra $20 a month on top of the Nintendo thing that you're going to have to make us pay just to get into the online multiplayer, because you need more money to develop for that online for the Switch. Somehow, there's going to be something. There's a catch. I don't see this.
So what, you see it as like they're going to add a monthly fee?
No. That was facetious. I'm just like, it can't be full-featured Call of Duty Black Ops 4 that you're going to get on your Xbox on your Switch. It's just not.
I disagree. I'm not saying it's going to have every single feature that the main consoles will have. But with this, these two pieces of news, Switch Online and then the possibility, the rumor of Call of Duty Black Ops 4 coming to the Switch, I'm not saying, to your point, Kevin, this is not going to be a platform that current Call of Duty players are going to jump to and be like, yeah, I'm going to play it on the Switch now. That's not going to happen. What is going to happen, though, is that all of the owners of the Switch, a majority of the owners that have the Switch, will now have access to play games like Call of Duty, if this happens, on their Switch. It gives them more options.
Which isn't a bad thing.
And it sells more games. It sells more Call of Duty copies for Activision.
Do they really need that?
No, they don't. But going back to your point, money.
And more money.
And then more money. And I'm rolling in it.
Money.
So it seems to make sense.
The truth.
Right? With Switch having an online component, online multiplayer, it makes sense to see the possibility, you know, a rumor circulating of Call of Duty making its way to the Switch. I don't see it as a bad thing if it's handled well. That's the biggest problem, is are they going to handle it well?
Judging by how they've done things before, no. Because they're not going to put their top-tier development team at Treyarch making Black Ops 4 and take any resources away from them making the game to make the Switch version. They're just not. That's never going to happen.
I'm just thinking of, like, the audience base. I mean, yeah, Doom and Skyrim have shown the capabilities of violent video games on the Switch, but for the most part, the Switch has been advertised as the kid-friendly console, the family-friendly console.
But that's the stigma that Nintendo needs to get away from.
Okay, that
they really
makes sense.
Do. Yeah. I mean, you can argue against me all you want on that point. I'm going to stand my ground. They need to get away from that because they used to be the gaming company. Before we had Sega come in, you know, Nintendo was where it was at.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Exactly. That was the Genesis model, or motto, rather. One of them, anyway. But I'm not saying by any means are they going to overpower Sony and Microsoft in this gaming console generation. No. In the next one, no. But they have a potential to no longer be the outcast that they were with the Wii and the Wii U.
Okay, I see where you're coming from now.
Overpower yeah. how? Because they're already on pace to beat out the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
That's irrelevant. Sony's install base is ridiculous. Now, with that said, there are currently no plans to bring the Crash Bandicoot trilogy to the Xbox One. That's the most surprising part about this rumor for me, honestly. In a way, it's not, because Crash Bandicoot was a Sony property to begin with. But we all know that when...
I don't think that statement is true. There have been a rumor about it coming to the Xbox One since it released on PS4.
All right, well, it doesn't matter because it's all rumors. Anyhow, I'm not really surprised by that statement, because when Activision, I guess you could say, acquired Crash Bandicoot and made all those garbage spinoffs, they were being thrown every fucking where. And they bombed, and they didn't make any money, and that's why we haven't seen Crash Bandicoot for so long. And then when we got the Crash Bandicoot Trilogy Remaster announcement, of course, only on PlayStation, where it originated to begin with, everybody lost their shit, you know? So moving into the Switch seems to be a smart idea. Again, that plays into Virginia's point of your install base, your fan base. The owners of the Switch are either nostalgic young adults like ourselves or younger kids.
Oh, that's cute. You think you and I are still young.
I was going to make an old man joke too, but
I was refraining because he was taking my side.
But it's like in the turn of that coin is, let's just fucking keep Microsoft out of it. And it's like, why?
I think they're making the announcement for Switch because there are 14 million Switches out there, and that's 14 million people they can get the bite on the Insane Trilogy. I understand why Sony would try to do that. Sony doesn't have that power to do that. Right. They don't have a say in it.
Right.
They probably paid off Activision for the last year to be like, hey, it's exclusive on us and everything like that. But now it's like Sony's probably trying. We'll give you more money. Don't put it on anywhere else. And Activision's like, we like money. Yeah. And you don't have enough. Bye.
And do you ever think that maybe this rumor also could be just like, let's see how many Xbox users want it.
True.
And if the rumor goes out and there's a lot of Xbox users pissed, then they'll be like, oh, actually, we are releasing it for the Xbox with the Switch as well. We planned it all along. That was just a rumor you guys heard.
Yeah, that's... It feels all like a marketing
ploy.
It is. Yeah. Well, but it's, in the same respect, it's like, for people to read too much into it. Kind of like we did last week with all the Microsoft buying EA rumors and everything like that. Mm. Like, it's just stuff to get people talking. Like,
what it really boils down to is if these rumors turn out to be true, is there any reason for any of you guys to buy those versions for the Switch over PlayStation 4 or Xbox One?
Since I already own it on PlayStation 4, no. The only reason I would buy it on Switch would be because I can take it somewhere with me. But
how many times have I said that before? And how many times has Nintendo proven that now?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was giving Bethesda shit. Oh, you're just porting everything. Here's Skyrim again. Who the fuck cares? You can play Skyrim anywhere now.
Yep.
You can play Doom anywhere now. And Doom looks fucking beautiful on that console.
Gorgeous. Oh my goodness.
This console has proven its capability. And I'm not saying the Wii U did not have these capabilities, because we had Assassin's Creed 3, we had Mass Effect 3, we had Batman Arkham City
Origins? Arkham City.
And tons of other AAA first or AAA third party games that were later ported to the Wii U a year and a half, possibly even 2 years after they had launched on Microsoft and Sony's consoles. But that system was capable of running those games. Nobody gave a shit because it was the Wii U. The Wii U bombed its first week. Bombed. But the Switch has been sold out since launch. Only now has, you know, have the stores been regularly keeping stock on this console.
Yep.
The install base is much higher in its first year than the Wii U ever was. You've proven that your console can handle these games. Mm-hmm. Why not make them available? Like, that's what I'm trying to get at to everyone. Like, forget the idea of them being ports. They don't need to be ports anymore. They don't need to be the Nintendo special version of that game. They've proven they can have the full game. And I think that would be a great thing for them to do. But, again, we'll have to see how this all works out. So... I think we're gonna take a little break and let Will put something nice and pretty on here for you to listen to, and we'll be back with the answer to the burning question. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed everything. Really, I hope you're happy and just loving life. Maybe touching yourself a little bit.
Oh, you just had to go there.
I did, actually. So
Valentine's special. It wouldn't be Valentine's for Jack if he wasn't touching himself.
That's a good point.
This half of the show brought to you by KY. We are going to
for his and his pleasure. Hobo style.
Says you put the. It says you put the blue one on me.
Are you feeling warm yet?
Tingles. So we're going to get to some community feedback in just a little bit. But first, we have a hypothetical situation to deal with.
Should I read it again?
Yeah, let's go ahead and read it again just to refresh the listeners' memories.
I still know what I'm saying.
Awesome. All right. You have been selected to be a part of the first human party to make contact with a friendly alien race. Their pop culture is the exact opposite of ours. Luke is Darth Vader's father. Bruce Willis wasn't dead the whole time in The Sixth Sense. Star Trek was led by Spock. Magneto leads the X-Men. The question is, you have been asked to bring a video game and associated console to introduce them to our pop culture. Which game and associated console duo do you choose?
Does anybody want to go first, or do you want
me
to?
You've already come up with your own answer, so I feel like
I'd take any version of the Xbox and Halo, just because I think it would be funny. It's like the aliens come down and we're like, hey, we're all friends. What's this? Oh, you have a game where you shoot all of us? Well, look at this. Hey, sticky grenade right to the face.
It's a good point. Because their pop culture would be, you know, the Covenant are the good guys and Master Chief's the asshole.
Yeah, I'd be like, this would be funny. It would even be funnier if they were actually saying Ely.
I'm still thinking.
You got me. I mean, I kind of feel like saying, you know, Andromeda on the X, because then everybody would love it, maybe. And maybe we might get another Mass Effect.
No, yay, she's trying.
I don't know. That was trying. It was really cute. I'm debating between Civilization 3 on the PC or Fallout on the Xbox One X, because it sounds prettier on that Fallout 3, that is.
Wait, okay, no.
What?
Nope.
Huh?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
She's not sure.
The reason I choose Civilization is because this is a way to give them a hilarious history lesson into the world as a whole, but also give this idea of humans always liking to control every little bit of thing. And it's arguably said that Civilization 3 is the best out of all of them. I mean, I love Civilization 6, but 3 is where it's at. Like, without 3, I would not have 6, just because of what 3 did and changed it from 1 and 2.
If you had to pick a funnier one, I would have went with Civ Rev.
Civ Rev, right? No, I don't want the...
Caricature of Napoleon?
Yeah, the caricatures of Gandhi and stuff like that. Like, I do want to keep the fact that Gandhi loves throwing nuclear weapons at everyone, because that is just one of the best things that Civilization does. I feel like, you know, Civ 3 is still simplified enough, because once you go to, like, 4, 5, and 6, especially 6, you have to suddenly come up with, like, religions as well as tourism as well as diplomacy as well as, like, it gets so convoluted. And I feel like this is a simple way of giving them world history without too much effort. And it hopefully doesn't mess with their pop culture too much. And then Fallout 3, because it's like, please don't attack us, because this will happen if you do. It'd be nice if you didn't.
Could you come save us? Because this is going to happen anyway.
That's a good point. Womp, womp.
This is a tough one, because the question is posed in a position that their pop culture is exact opposite. So that's not stating that a game that we had that's terrible is going to be great in their version.
Mm-hmm.
It's just saying that everything's going to be the opposite.
Yeah,
like that's Bowser why saves Peach sort of idea.
Mario's a kidnapping jackass.
Yeah, exactly. Link's out to kill Zelda, like, you know, things like that.
So I'm thinking that I will take an Xbox 360 and a copy of Homefront. The biggest reason for that is our current political situation with Korea. I know that Homefront is not Korea, but
I think the original Homefront was.
Was it Korea? Yeah. I thought it was. Because yeah, it was. Yeah.
Homefront has always been Korea. I think the original story, maybe I was wrong, but the movie that's based off of, isn't that China instead of Korea?
I thought so, yeah. Because I was thinking China in my head for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, I thought the game was Korea, and that's what I'm going with. So again, I'm not a very political person. You probably know that by now. But with our current situation, I think it would be interesting to show them our version of Homefront, so that we get to see theirs, where America is just rolled up in Korea and we're like, what's up, motherfucker? This is our place now.
Well, actually, it would be alien America and alien Korea.
Yeah.
It's still, the parallel is there, okay? I just want to see it. because Homefront's a terrible game. So if we want to really broaden it, there's a potential that there's a good Homefront out there that would be fun to play.
Yeah, maybe the alien technology, they actually were able to put more funds to create a better game.
So are you saying I should have said something like Alpha Protocol or something?
I was thinking
like
Alpha Protocol myself, actually. I was trying to think of something that would completely turn the tables on itself.
I just like the idea of we shoot aliens and they shoot us.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
No, it's a really good point. Yeah. I wasn't thinking about that when I wrote the question.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because they're currently a friendly alien race. I'm not sure they would be so afterward.
No.
But are we going to be so butthurt that they're playing a game where they're shooting a whole bunch of people?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we've played as...
They said we were going up, not Trump or other people on this country.
Well, you know there's going to be communication when we get back. It's 2018, Kevin. Hashtag offended. Get with the program. I'm triggered. See? You see how easy it is to offend people now? You got to be careful.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's no longer a he. He's a them.
Oh, and Jesus God.
Them doesn't believe in this, but I think it... I don't think so, because we as a human race, in all of our pronouns, we have played games as the alien messing around with humans. We've done that already. Are we offended that we're killing our fellow species? No, we do it willingly on PUBG right now. We love it.
Destroy all humans.
Exactly, uh-huh. Exactly. So I don't see that being an issue. That wouldn't trigger.
The question wasn't like what do you take and like deal with the ramifications? The question is, what do you take to show them? And I'd take that, and I'd basically be drinking alien beer and hanging out and being like, this is awesome. And then I come back and be like, dude, it was fucking hilarious. You should have seen their version of Halo, and it'd be done with it.
Yeah.
Or like,
wow. I'd be like, that was awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like your answer. I thought when I first wrote it, I was thinking like Pong, because they'd appreciate technology from its beginnings. And then I was like, no. I should go more than that. That just feels boring and black and white.
So, just trying to
just forget he's on the Pong stick is on the gaming
right.
Mount
Rushmore. I forgot about that. The Pong stick stabbing a hobo.
Yes, you're hearing silence because I just...
He is shaking his head while we all are looking at him.
For shame.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, did everybody go?
No.
Yeah.
Ashley did it.
She said Andromeda, didn't she?
I was like opposite and make them happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, aliens.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, okay. You know, shitty game. Okay, they'll make it a good one or whatever.
It's a good point.
I didn't get the question, apparently.
No, it's a good answer. Wait, what console?
Oh.
Dude, are you kidding? I
mean, yeah, nobody really...
I mean, it's part of the question. Just saying.
I actually kind of like that answer, because pop culture is exactly the opposite. So Mass Effect would not be the commercial success that it is here on human Earth. It would be interesting to see their perspective on that game.
Yeah.
And why they don't appreciate it the way we do. Specifically because it's a game involving the entire galaxy and many alien races. That's actually a very good answer. I like that.
The first three games, they're like, this is all garbage. No. And then the last one, they're like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever.
No, I was just saying the Andromeda.
I know, like if all pop culture was reversed, it would basically be like the first three happened and they all burned the city to the ground in a rage of fiery anger.
Well, that doesn't say a lot for them coming to Earth, does it?
No.
I'm Commander Alien Shepard and this is the worst game in the Citadel.
But... Andromeda came out, and they're all peaceful now. They want to come hang out.
Andromeda is what brought them to us.
Yeah.
That and No Man's Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, ugh.
No Man's Sky is actually good on a different planet.
That would have been the... Oh, ugh. Oh, my mouth tastes like copper. All right. So that was fun.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for providing.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a good conversation starter. I'm gonna throw that out to the community. Let us know what you think would be a good game and console combo to introduce to a alien race who is friendly but also has the exact opposite pop culture as we do.
Or
so,
take my route and see what's going to start World War III between galaxies.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Universal War I.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Galactic War.
I am the Senate. So drop us a little drop on Facebook, Matty P. If you're hearing this, maybe you can get that together. I don't know. Who knows? Somebody start some shit up.
I believe in Matty P.
Yeah. So Kev, we got some feedback from the community as always. What's everybody been up to?
Well, we didn't go with traditional what you've been playing, but because this week is Valentine's Day.
Okay.
They wanted to find out what games you play with your significant others or game times that you've been having there. And so far, Drew Cunningham responded. He hasn't gotten his lady into gaming yet, but he just downloaded Lego Batman off Game Pass. I'm going to get her to co-op that with me and see if I can get her gaming.
That sounds like a good intro game.
Yeah, Lego games are always...
Yeah. Well done, Drew.
Matt Treband? I'm not sure I'm saying that right. Sorry if I screwed it up. Mario Party, but never ends well.
It's like a Monopoly. This is how you destroy the family.
Yeah. Ed Caba? None. She doesn't play anything. Our illustrious host, Dak, tried Call of Duty years ago, but it simply was not her game. The last time they played hardcore together was when we bought old Game Boy Advances and was into collecting old titles. I think that time is coming back up, though, because she has been eyeing up that SNES classic. Here's a list. Tony Tote, PoE, Rainbow Six Siege, Borderlands, Killing Floor 2, and Warframe. Katie, my cat doesn't play video games. And Ed Leisner, Eddie, my ex and I used to play Gears of War 2 together all the time.
So,
what have you guys
sounds
been
like
playing
a depressing
together?
Valentine's Day.
What have got any plans of anything besides scaring her senseless with more Bloodborne on Valentine's Day?
I don't know. I mean, probably one of two things is going to happen if it's video game related. I'm going to watch her play Fallout 3, or I'm going to be playing something on the Xbox and she's going to be playing the Switch. Like,
did you beat Assassin's Creed yet?
No, I'm about halfway through. I want to say maybe a little bit more than halfway. But I got a huge backlog I need to get working on. And she actually experienced us playing video games at the same time together in recent weeks. It's been like two or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
And she loves it. Like, she doesn't understand. She still doesn't understand why I like watching her play. But
she likes to watch.
Okay, you didn't get the first reference. I'm not going to say anything about that.
Nope, still don't understand it.
But no,
is
like
that why you two Twitch stream all the time?
Wait, what?
We need money. No, but like, you know, it doesn't always have to be like you guys play together. Like, you guys play together a lot.
We need to play more. Like, recently it's just been PUBG. But work has kind of killed that for us compared to what it was during last year's.
Well, like, she and I play Call of Duty online occasionally, and we played Zombies for her first time, I believe.
Oh, no, I've played Zombies
played Zombies before.
On others,
okay.
But not on World War II.
She was terrified, of course, because zombies.
They're very scary.
But I find that we enjoy as much, if not more, when we're both just playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sitting in the same room playing what we want to play.
Yeah, I mean, you were playing Assassin's Creed, and I was playing on the Switch, and I just kind of lounged on the couch and put my head on your lap like we would watching a movie, but we were playing,
but we're playing
games instead,
like,
and it was awesome.
It's amazing. It's great to have that in a relationship where it's like, you're both gamers, not one person is a gamer, not, you know, and the other person's just like watching just because, you know, oh, I gotta fucking play this fucking video game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice. So that's probably what we're going to be doing. Like I said, if it's video game related on Valentine's Day, we're just going to be playing shit. I don't know if I'll be playing Assassin's Creed or what. She's got me wanting to play Bloodborne again and get back to Fallout, but I also have a huge list of other fucking games I got to play. And well, I need to go pick up Shadow of the Colossus in the next day or so.
You
so.
Really don't need to pick that up.
Yeah, I really do,
no.
Kevin.
Mm-mm.
Look, You bought Mass Effect like 16 fucking times. I don't want to hear your shit. And you...
Mass Effect was an enjoyable game.
Not only did you buy... Oh, so Shadow of the Colossus. Not only did you buy Alpha Protocol, you finished it. So you have nothing to say to me, sir.
Yeah, I do. Alpha Protocol was a better game than Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh my God.
Isn't it adorable when they argue?
Get that friendly alien race down here right fucking now. Let you play their version of Alpha Protocol, Kevin. Then I might concede that argument. Give me that bullshit.
Whoa, the alien version of Shadow of Colossus is the Colossus take out humans.
Mm-hmm. See, that sounds awesome to me.
Giant humans.
But
Colossus fork you.
Yeah.
The Colossi have to ride the tiny little horse.
Yes.
And have a tiny little sword.
Teeny tiny.
Because it's fucking awesome. It's like one of the cocktail pirate swords.
Yes.
You know they would just replace the horse with a little wooden stick with the horse head on it, and they'd hop around.
That's fine. Whatever.
No, that's a mod awesome. You can add to the game afterwards.
Get to it. I want to see it out there, community. Get cragging.
Now, would you think in PUBG this Valentine's Day?
Most likely.
Yeah.
Nothing sends romance than killing other people.
That's right.
It's always rough in that game, too, because when you get swarmed by another team, it's like, oh, God, somebody's there. Shoot, shoot, shoot. And then I made the mistake. She ran in front of my bullet.
Yeah, that prick.
How could you?
Wasn't my fault.
We were so close.
She ran in front of my
bullet. We could have eaten. We could have had a chicken dinner.
I think she's a little salty about it still.
Probably.
Because she was hoping to use that salt in that chicken dinner.
I know that you can't prepare food, but maybe you should take that as a hint of what you should get for Valentine's Day.
I can prepare food.
Oh. Well, you said work doesn't give you much time, so
they don't
think you'd have time to do it, but you know.
You find time.
Love that chicken from Popeye's. Mm.
She does.
Mm. I do.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with red beans and rice.
Mm. Okay, we're all hungry here, so...
Popeye's for dinner?
Yes!
Yes.
I think we're going to go ahead and call it. What do you think?
Why not?
So, that was another special episode of the 4-1 Game... 4-1-owned gaming podcast couples show. Fuck!
You want to try that again?
No, I really don't, because apparently I can't
talk
anymore.
English is his first language.
It's cold down here, I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and it's just been a long fucking week. So anyway,
he's having a stroke.
Thanks for listening. Ladies, thanks for joining us again. We appreciate you coming down to do this. We should have another regular show next week, I believe. The crew will be back together just in time for Valentine's Day. We're going to share a lot of group hugs and touch each other inappropriately.
You can do that.
We're not going to do that. No. I just want them to hear this before the show, like right before the show.
I was going to do things appropriately.
$5 says Matt comes here next week and moves that mic to the other side of the room.
Nah, he's going to move it over here on my lap. All right, guys, that has been episode 149 of the 4-1-0 Gaming Podcast, brought to you by the Orbital Jigsaw Network. I'm your man, Jackie Fingers, and as always, you can find us online at 4101gaming.com, 4101gaming@gmail.com, and 4101gaming on your favorite social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Keep the love coming, y'all. We talk to you next time.
Peace. See ya.
Bye. I got her poster on my wall. When I see it, a reminder that I probably need to go out more. But fuck it, I'm unapologetic. If I see the XP, I gotta get it. The sweeter with the PSD, the diabetic. Take it in the cryogenic freezer. So when they wake me up 100 years later, I continue to beat her. Word to Jackie Fingers, peace to Soul Tan. My boy Matt, keep the controller with both fans. Time popping up every 14 shows. That got the 411 and the 410. Let's go. Stop playing with me.